You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
Good morning, church family. For those of you who don't know me, I'm C3 Pastor Chris. Thank you. So, for those of you who know, today is Sean and Kendra's first week of vacation. So, as elders, we take an opportunity to let God use us. And we come up front, we fill in a week, give Sean a break. He don't have to plan things, and he can just relax. And we have an opportunity to let God stretch us. We have an opportunity to trust and allow God to use us. So, I'm jumping right in today. We're going right into the point today. Today, we're going to be continuing what Sean laid out the groundwork for last week. He started our series, Wise Up, again, because it's again. And I'm sure we'll see it again, so that time it'll be Wise Up again. But, so, he sort of gave you guys a taste of where we'll be going for the next few weeks. As Justin had said, we're going to see each of the elders up here. I'm going to stop pacing in a few minutes as soon as I settle down. I promise. I don't want to wear a hole in the stage up here. But so today, we're going to be talking about give up. Wise up and give up. And there went the monitor. We're having some technical difficulties. We had a light go out. We have a monitor out, so I may be teaching from behind my laptop today. Please don't feel any way about that. So, give up. Let go. Trust. Trust that God's got the details. Trust that God's got the pieces. We're going to be teaching from Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. So, on your seats, there's a piece of balloon string. Just tuck that away in your book, your pocket, your Bible, your purse. We'll deal with that later. I know you guys see the balloons up here. You can just keep wondering what they're about, too. We'll pick them up later as well. So, as I had said, we're going to talk about trust today. And let's be honest, trust can be terrifying. It can be extremely scary. It might even seem reckless or careless to people who don't know God. People don't know that there is a God that cares about the details. And let's be honest, it's just, who else do you trust the details and the things you care about the most? To anybody but you. And that's the problem. So, I want to talk about what it means to not just trust God with those details, but be okay with that decision. Put it down. Trust that He's got all those pieces, and you can walk away knowing that He's got your back. Sorry, I haven't got my monitor back yet. But that kind of trust doesn't come from reading a book, doesn't come from just getting up in the morning and, you know, snap your fingers. That kind of trust comes from knowing Him, spending time with God, getting to know who He is, getting Him involved in your life, you getting involved in spending time with Him daily, and that trust builds. Now, when I say about trust, I'm not talking about recklessness. I'm not talking about that kind of trust, you know, where you're just being ridiculous, where I'm going to drive my car off a cliff. Don't worry, guys. I trust in God. He's got this. Or you jump off of a building and be like, hey, I'm putting my hands up. God's got me. Don't worry. God will save me. I trust Him. And let me be honest, He might save you. But you better hope that was His purpose and His will. Because if it's not,
That's going to be a rough day. So, but knowing him is something that grows, something it builds, and something that is necessary for us to be doing daily. One of the things I like to do is I like to share stories. I think stories are an amazing way to connect to people around you, to things you've walked through, how your life has been transformed by God, things God has done in your life, and just watching him work. But the great things about stories are they're personal. And today, I'm probably going to get more personal than I have with most of you ever before. I'm going to share things that even some of you have sat down with me time after time may have never heard. So, and I'm going to move this chair first because it's in my way. So, what I like to say is that when, you know, through these stories, when I said I trusted God that things were going to get easier, and, you know, when I said, God, I trust you, I know you're my Savior, I know you got me, I trust you. And I'd love to say that life was just like, he had me from there. Things were so much easier. But most of us that live in reality and know that all this sin exists in the real world and that we're broken people, we know that that's not true. Actually, it's the opposite. Sometimes when you put your faith in God, when you trust in God for things, when you're doing things the right way, it gets harder. It gets harder. Because it's harder to do things the right way. Because the world says they're pulling you this direction. And they're saying, you know, no, trust in yourself. You do you. You trust in the people around you. Why would you trust in this thing you can't see? Why would you put your faith in that? I'm here to tell you that you'll find out. You'll find out you need God more than anything else in this world. More than that friend who says you can trust me with everything, you need God more than that. Because he's got you through and through. He's got your back to the end. So, I've been here for how long? 2012? That's been a hot minute. But in 2012, my wife and my family and I started visiting this church. I was driving truck over the road full time. I hauled cattle for a living all over the United States. I was home very little throughout the month. Made a great living. I made a really good living. And it was hard not to be home with my family. I had a wife at home with four kids, one on the way. There she sits. But so God was challenging me in many ways. I was feeling it. I was out in the road. I'm like, but I can't quit. I got to make this money. I got to pay these bills. I got to do this thing. I got to do this thing. Me, me, me. I. And that's how we are when we don't have a God to lean on. When we don't have Jesus to put our faith in. It's always me, me, me. I. So I'm driving truck, making great money. We're checking out this church. I still don't trust this God thing. I know he exists, but I don't want to hang out with him. I don't spend time with him in the morning. I don't know who he is. I certainly don't want to trust my kids to him. But that's about to change because the beginning of 2013, I lost my job. I was extremely overweight. I was in terrible shape. And I leaned on me. And like all things, that when you lean on yourself or lean on the power of something that's not God, they can disappear like that. And then you're stuck to try to figure it out yourself. Or so I thought. So I lost my job. Went to the doctors. They said, Chris, you look terrible. They said, you ain't driving truck no more. And of course, because I didn't have that security of trusting God, where was I? I was freaking out. I'm losing it. I'm like, I got a mortgage. I've got bills. I've got kids. I've got, let's be real. I mean, I had child support payments. So like, these are things that are real that I had to fulfill, that I said, I have to figure this out. Me, me, me. I have to figure this out. Let me tell you something. Holding on to things is exhausting. It's tiring. And it's hard. It weighs on you. It don't matter how light or how heavy it is, it still weighs on you just the same when you hold it yourself. So 2 weeks went by, found another job. And it was a local job. I was home. Praise God for that. But that job paid. I think I went from $80,000 to $20,000 in a matter of like 2 weeks. And the bills were getting paid. Matter of fact, more bills were getting paid. And I'm still freaking out. But my wife, Dawn, who you guys know, has got this strange calmness about her that I don't. You know, I'm sure she was nervous. I'm sure there was things going on in her head. But still, she knew that she had something I didn't. Which is she trusted that God had the details. And I didn't. All I could think of was how I was going to fix it. Where I was going to get the overtime. How I was going to clean things up. So, faith's born. We go through the year. I'm working this new job. Bills are getting paid. I'm not sure how. We joined a prime group. We're really getting connected here at MC3. We get around to the beginning of 2014. And remember that doctor's appointment that got me kicked out of my job, that, you know, lost my trucking job with? Well, there was some more testing that came with that. Most of you know this. I am a former addict. Remember 20 years clean. I was a heroin junkie. Let's just be real with it. Call it what it is. What we do know is that there's consequences to our actions, and we may not see them today, tomorrow, next week. It may be a year from now. Maybe 10 years from now. But that doctor's visit opened up some other testing. And one of those tests, those blood tests, came back and told me that. And they said, Chris, we hate to tell you, but you're polluted with hepatitis. Your liver is being destroyed. It's all through your body. It's not great, bud. We have some options for you. The treatment was similar to chemo. They said you'll be very sick. You'll be very, you know, it was bad all around. So Dawn and I talked about it. We prayed about it and stepped in this space where we're like, we're just going to have to do it. Because it didn't, you know, my liver was taking a beating for sure. The treatment wasn't working. I remember still trying to hold the details together. I remember getting in a truck. I had my license back for a little while. I remember getting in a truck and driving to New Jersey and sticking a needle in my stomach to give myself this interferon injection. And just sleeping for hours and then driving home because I was still trying to hold the pieces. Just shot, wore out. I still wasn't ready to let go of it. I still wasn't ready to hand things over, even though, like, I'm watching him work over the past year of my life. I'm still hanging on to the strings. And went back to the doctors. They said, your treatment's not working, so they offered me another option. They said, it's less severe. Things will be a lot better for you. So I start this treatment. I finish up the 90-day treatment. In the 90 days, I'm waiting for the results. I went and got more blood work. I get a letter in the mail. Get a phone call from the doctor, but I got a letter in the mail. That letter said that your hepatitis has now been cleared. Treatment worked. God's still working. I'm not looking. God's still working, but I'm not looking at him yet. So right after that, MC3 announces there's going to be a missions trip. And I'm like, a missions trip? Really, guys? I'm not that guy. You'd never catch me on one of those missions trips. Which seems kind of funny because I don't think I've missed one since then. I actually set them up and lead them now. So I'm telling you. God takes his time, but he works on what he does. So, I didn't have a passport, but I also am a 2-time felon with a misdemeanor on my record. So, You know what that means? You're not going to get a passport with a record like that. But I applied anyhow. I figured, why not? You know what God did? I think that passport showed up in 6-7 weeks later. And I applied for that missions trip. And I went. From those of you who don't get the reference, you know, we stinko-mossed it up there for the week. And God was working. Before I left, I was still working this job that I talked about that I got right after driving. My boss had given me a week off to go on this trip, which was amazing. However, it didn't come with any money. So I'm already going to take a tight budget, and let's just make it a little tighter. Let's just squeeze it a little. Let's see how much more we can squeeze out of this stone. But once again, my wife says, be all right, let's do this. Go. I didn't know where I stood at this point with God. I'm struggling. Like, I'm watching this God work in my life. But yet, I'm still trying to push him away because I still think I can do it myself. I still think I've got the details. I remember talking to Dawn from the roof of the building down there. And she said, I'm so glad you're down there. I wasn't standing on the roof. I was doing nothing crazy. I wasn't going to jump off and trust God. Trust me. But there was like this lounge area, and I'm talking to Dawn, and I'm like, and she's like, I'm so glad you're here. But we do have a week to make it, figure out when we get back. And I'm like, don't worry, I'll figure it out. I'll figure it out. All right, so God's got me, took care of this hepatitis deal. God's got, you know, I got a job. We're paying the bills. We still have a house. Faith was born. I got to be there for that. Got a passport. I'm in Oaxaca. But I'm still like, don't worry, when I get back, I can get it. I'll figure it out. I'll get some extra hours. I'm right back to grabbing the strings again. I'm like, I've got this. Me, me, me. Back to leaning on me from my own understanding and not on God. So we get back. I remember I worked at a hog farm. So I get back and we're sitting in the break room. It's like 2 weeks. I had just talked to my wife. I was outside talking to her, and we were just talking about, you know, we're going to figure this out, you know, how to make up this week. And my boss walks in. It's lunch break. Boss walks in. He says, hey, guys, y'all made me a lot of money this year. So we want to give you guys a fiscal year bonus. And I'm like, oh, I don't even know what that is, but I guess I'm going to get like a Jelly of the Month Club card, like maybe a ham. But that's only funny to me because I worked on the hog farm. Not so funny to the hog. But so he says, no. And he hands us each an envelope. Inside that envelope was a check for twice what I make in a normal week. It was double my salary. God had come through. He knew the details a year, way before that. He knew before I left he was going to cover it. He knew when I got back. He knew when I was there. And all he does is wait for me to let go of things. And we'll hear more about that because over the next few years, remember I said about how God builds trust. And it's not overnight, it's not in a day, it's not in a week. It took me years of watching God continue to come through in my life, time after time. And still there was times I'm like, no, I got this. But God still said, I'm here for when you don't. I'm here for when you can't, when you're going to drop it, because I know you're going to, because you can't do this yourself. He says, I'm going to pick it up for you. So 2021 came around. And I'm pretty sure the guy was sitting there and he's like, you know what? It's been a while. I'm going to stretch this fat boy again. So it's time to test him. He said, I'm not quite sure. But I was working for another trucking company this time. I had a pretty good career. I actually kind of liked my job. I had a great boss. Made decent money, was in a pretty decent position. but I think God was trying to get my attention. MC3 announced that they were looking for a C3 pastor. And at that time, we didn't even know what that was. It's like this make-believe fairy tale pastor guy, like, who loves people, loves relationships. And I'm like, I could never be that guy. Are you kidding me? Me as a C3 pastor or a pastor in general? I'm just a truck driver. I hang out with Dutchmen all day. Like, kind of funny how God works, huh? And one day my brother from another mother, Justin here, approaches me in the parking lot and asks me, sorry, I didn't ask you if I could say your name, but I hear that's like a thing. You got to ask before you point somebody out. All right. Thank you. I love you, man. So he approached me in the parking lot and says, hey, you ever considered that? You think you would consider that? And I remember getting in the car and talking to Dawn. I'm like, you'll never guess what somebody just asked me. Like, I think she thought I was in the sun too long when I said that to her. She's like, are you kidding me? Like, you? But God was working. Matter of fact, I think from the minute that my mind was willing to listen, God went right to work. He started chipping away at me, started doing things in the background that I couldn't see. Conversations were happening. Things were being talked about, things that I couldn't imagine. But God was working. So it got down to, I decided to throw my hat in the ring. I shared my testimony with all of you up front here. I visited Prime Groups. I gave my cell phone back to my boss because that came with my old job. I went and got a new phone, got a phone plan. I applied for college. 38 years old, I applied for college. Student loans. And I remember being in one of the Prime Groups, and they're like, what's going to happen if they say no? I said, well, I guess I'm going to be 39 years old with a student loan and a new cell phone payment working at Lowe's or McDonald's. Because about a month and a half after the discussion, I called a meeting with my boss and his wife. And they knew already what we were going to talk about. It was amazing. I was terrified of this meeting. I wasn't sure how it was going to go, but it was amazing. God was in it for sure. And I remember his wife coming in and saying, you know, Chris, I know what this means for our family with you leaving because you cover all of our gaps. But I want to tell you, if you're leaving here to follow where God's leading you, you go, bud. We love you. We're supporting you. We want you to go. So I put in that month's notice and, you know, did the testimony, shared the Prime Groups in between that. We're like a week out. I have heard nothing. Nothing from you elders know who you are. I've heard nothing. We're 3 days out. I've heard nothing. And it is Thursday. My last day is Friday morning. And I'm stressing. I'll be honest, I'm stressing. I'm right back to leaning on me because I'm like, I don't understand what's going on. Why is nothing happening? Why am I not hearing anything? And I'm stressing out. And I finally realized that I'm quitting my job tomorrow regardless. Because that's the path I felt God was originally leading me on. That's where I felt like he was calling me. So I was leaving that job tomorrow. Whatever he wanted to do from here till there or from then on was up to him. And I was going to be obedient to that. Yeah, it came a long way from not wanting to know him to trusting him in that type of way. Because, you know, I still got bills. I still got things to take care of. And so it's Thursday night, and I am walking the house. I've got my phone. I actually don't have my phone in my pocket today. I left it back there because I don't need a distraction. And I'll tell you about it then. But I'm walking the house with this phone, and I mean, it's a normal teaching for me. You know, I'm smoking a path in the kitchen floor walking around checking my phone. Why haven't they called me yet? They must not want to talk to me. I'm in my own head like y'all wouldn't believe. And it's like 7:45-ish, 8 o'clock-ish, and I'm like, my kids are looking at me. They're like, I'm just going to let Dad over there. But I take my phone, and I'm like, you know what? I'm done with this. If this was God's plan, then he's got it. And I threw my phone up top of the refrigerator. So mind you, I've been waiting for days, weeks. Now I've been waiting, counting minutes, and realizing that I keep staring at that phone, and the call ain't coming in. I threw that phone on top of the refrigerator and walked in the living room, and I sat down. And I remember saying, God, whatever you're doing with it, it's yours. You want to guess what happened? Phone rang. House phone rang. I think it was a house phone. And it was Sean asking me if I would want to be the MC3 E3 pastor. God had it. He had it the whole time. He even had down to the details of the phone call. He just wanted me to take my hand off. He wanted me to step away, trust that he had it, stop feeling like I'm going to make a call come in by scrolling through, and hand it to him. And I'm still here. Here I am. Some of you might know this, but this past year, it's been rough here at MC3. There's been some hard moments financially. There were some moments where Sean and I had to call and check with the treasurer and the bookkeeper to find out if we could cash our paychecks that week. I'm not saying God wasn't coming through. I'm just saying that this was the reality of the situation. Sean and I, we didn't know if we were going to be able to cash our checks from every 2 weeks. We would check with Justin and Dawn. Hey, and we after the giving, after the bills were paid, we would check. But you know what Sean and I didn't do? Sean did not come in here in the morning. Sean came in here in the morning, and he went upstairs, and he prayed, as he does, and he worked on his point for the rest of the day, not knowing if his paycheck could be cashed. I came in the morning, went to the community, went to the shelter, went to meet with people, whatever it was those days. But I didn't skip that because I couldn't get paid. We trusted. Just because you can't cash your paycheck doesn't mean that you got to stop doing what God's called you to do. That doesn't change our heart on how we serve and be obedient to where God called us at this point. But you know what? We're obedient. We love the times that God challenges us. Sometimes he pushes us because he wants us to let go of the things. He wants us to say, you know what? I'm still going to serve you. Even if I can't get a paycheck this week. And we didn't come in and do it halfway. We didn't show up late and say that we couldn't do it because, well, we're not getting paid, so we might as well not do the whole job today. No. We serve God 110% all the time. And this was that moment. And you know what? We haven't missed a paycheck. The bills are paid here. The lights are still on, obviously. We have air conditioning. Because God will continue to come through. But who are we leaning on? Those are my stories about how your C3 pastor has been on this trail, this journey, where God is continuing to break me, push me, bend me, and challenge me to continue to keep taking my hands off of things. Give him the things that he has given to me anyhow. So why not trust them back to him? He knows the outcome, and he knows how to do with them better than I ever could. So why are we still holding on to them? I'm going to transition. I'm going from my story to some stories in the Bible about a disciple who also had struggles letting go, who also struggled to trust. Is this monitor shot out? I guess I'm going back to old school paper, folks. Actually, bear with me a moment. All right. Let go. Let go of the things you're holding on to. The disciple that I want to talk about, his name's Peter. He's my favorite disciple because this dude screwed up all the time. Like, he would, it didn't matter what God would put in front of him. He would figure out a way to still put his finger on it and add his little two cents and screw it up. So, he's my favorite one. I remember writing about him in school, and I said, you know, if I could interview anybody, I'd like to interview my favorite screw-up in the Bible, which would be Peter, who turned out to be pretty amazing in the long run. But Peter had trust issues. He was human. Keep that in mind. I mean, the disciples were just men that walked with Jesus who were also human, who also screwed up, who also needed forgiveness, who also needed grace. But I can't imagine. You get to be Peter. You get to walk with Jesus. Get the same dust on your cloak, the same dirt in your sandals, and still struggle to believe what's happening right in front of your eyes. Peter's seen Jesus do things, perform miracles, signs, and wonders, but yet still doubted. Peter was there when Jesus, she clicks through. Peter was there when Jesus fed 5,000 people. In Matthew 15 through 21. That evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "That is not necessary. You feed them." The reply was, "But we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. "Bring them here," Jesus said. Then he told the people to sit down on the grass. Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looked up toward the heavens, and blessed them. Then breaking the loaves into pieces, he gave the bread to the disciples, who distributed it to the people. They ate as much as they wanted, and afterwards the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. About 5,000 men were fed that day, in addition to all the women and children. So 5,000 is probably more like 9 or 10,000, depending on how many kids they had. I mean, if they come to MC3, probably more like 15,000. But, no, it's just, it blows my mind, these things that Jesus did, but yet, and Peter's right here, and he's watching, and yet still lacks that bit where he needs to keep control of something. So, the next one, Jesus appears on the water. The disciples get into a boat, and they're getting ready to cross the lake, and Jesus appears on the water, and they are terrified that it's a ghost. I'm so glad I have paper notes. Jesus spoke to them Do not be afraid. Take courage, I am here. Then Peter called him, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you, walking on the water. Yes, come, Jesus said. So Peter went out over the side of the boat. He walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw a strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. He let fear set in. Save me, Lord, he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. You have so little faith, Jesus said. Why did you doubt me? When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshiped him. You really are the Son of God, they exclaimed. So they're in the garden. Jesus is being arrested. The high priest, the guards are in there. Jesus is being arrested. Peter's standing there. Depending what translation you read, it'll tell you who is standing there. Some leave you guessing till you read later into the story. But Luke 22:49-51, when Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, Lord, should we strike with our swords? And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting his right ear off. But Jesus answered, no more of this. And he touched the man's ear and healed it. Okay, so we just seen Peter just watched Jesus feed 5,000 plus people. He gave Peter the ability to walk on water when he's seen him. Peter grabbed his sword and cut off a servant's ear because apparently he didn't think that Jesus could handle himself. Apparently he didn't think he knew the outcome, and he thought he could do this better than Jesus. So, Jesus is arrested. The ear is healed. It's all healed up. And they're back at the high priest's quarters. And the guards come out and they light a fire in the courtyard. Peter and the other disciples follow Jesus back. They're all hanging around. They light this fire. You got Peter, who's sitting around this fire. And he does it again. Luke 22:54-57. The guards had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together. Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, this man was with him. And he denied it. So this man who had just watched all of the things that Jesus has done, had been walking with Jesus, seen all these miraculous signs and miracles, still doesn't trust. Still can't let go. Still doesn't believe that Jesus can do what he says. He denies it and responds, woman, I don't know him, he said. I don't know why he called her a woman, because some translations say she's a little girl. So now we have, like I said, Peter, who had seen all of these things take place. Peter, who had just watched all of this stuff happen, just seen this ear get put back on. Still not trusting. But now, he let fear step in, and he denies him. He let fear step in over a 10-year-old girl. 10-year-old girl pushed him away. Now, I do believe that there was a turning point in Peter's life. I do believe because he's human and he messes up and he needs forgiveness and Jesus loves him. I believe there's a turning point and he's offered this. In Matthew 16, 13 through 16, when Jesus came to the region of, I can't pronounce it, Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? And they replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. Jesus turns, but what about you? He asked. Who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He acknowledges him. He is acknowledging. He knows who Jesus is. In his mind, it doesn't mean he doesn't mess up. That doesn't mean he doesn't make mistakes. But he knows who he is. And that wasn't brought to him because he just decided that's what he wanted to hear. He finally is submitting his heart to God. I feel like that's sort of, that's what happens. I feel like we mess up and we mess up and we mess up and finally, God's still working because things are still happening and God's still behind us and he's still carrying us through. That's one. I think that's his favorite times is when we can't walk anymore. He carries us through because that allows us to lean on him for what we can't. So let's talk about this same Peter. So this same Peter, who is broken when he denies Jesus, because he allowed himself to be terrified because a 10-year-old girl or whatever age girl, 9-year-old girl, recognized who he was. A little girl put that fear in him. So over time, he begins to, now he's trusting. He acknowledges who Christ is. He acknowledges that his faith is in God. You want to talk about going from the fear of a mouse to the bravery of a lion? Because now what he's about to do, what he's about to say, could get him killed. Not because he's being stupid. Because it could get him killed because he's about to proclaim something to people that he was afraid to do before. In Acts 2:22, Peter's standing in front of the people of Israel. He says, people of Israel, listen. God publicly endorsed Jesus of Nazareth by doing powerful miracles, wonders, and signs through him. As you well know. But God knew what would happen. And his prearranged plan was carried out when Jesus was betrayed. With the help of lawless Gentiles, there it comes. You nailed him to the cross and killed him. The guy who could not, was terrified to say he even knew Jesus, is now standing in front of a crowd of people in Israel saying, you guys killed him. You guys nailed him to a cross. This is your fault. He walked away. But that is that kind of trust that builds over time. When you can just step out and allow God to use you. I think as elders, we do that. Because I'm going to tell you that I don't know that any of us are super comfortable up here. Guys, nod your head. Like, Sean, this is Sean's, this is his zone. Like, you see him get bouncing and jumping around and sweating. Like, he loves it. He loves doing this. But this is a challenge for us, and God stretches us in these times, and we trust him that he is going to put on our hearts what he wants us to share. We trust that he has got a plan for what, you know, what comes out of our mouths. So, guys, wise up and let go. So, one of the questions I got to ask, we say we trust God with our eternity, but why not our checkbooks? We trust God with where our heart, where our souls will rest, but we can't trust him with the debit card. We can't trust him to pay the bills. Why do we struggle with that? Luke 21:1-4, while Jesus was in the temple, he watched the people dropping their gifts in the collection box. Then a poor widow came by and dropped in 2 small coins. I tell you the truth, Jesus said, this widow has given more than all of the rest of them. For they have given a tiny part of their surplus. But she, poor as she is, has given everything she has. Everything we have in our checkbooks, our assets, God has given to us. So why can't we trust him with those things? We say we trust God with our eternity, but why not our marriages? Why not our families? God's got those details. He cares about what happens to our marriages. He cares about us spending time with our wives. He cares about our relationships with him as a family. God's got control of our kids. He gives them to us. 18 years he gives them to us. We can throw in all the things we think we know. We can point them to Christ, and that's hopefully what we're doing. We're pointing them to Christ, and we're saying, here, God, take them back. You gave them to us. We did what we could. Now we need to trust you with where they're going to school, who they're going to marry, whatever path they have, God has for them. We pray for them. We support them. And we trust that God has a plan for each of their lives that is divine. And we believe and we trust in that. Colossians 3:13. Bear with each other. Forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Guys, scrap it out with your wife or your spouse. Hang on. Hang in there. It's worth it. God blesses these things. So hang on. Forgive. Been married 18 years, and my wife forgives me every day. I think sometimes I should wake up in the morning and be like, I'm sorry for what I'm going to say or what I'm going to forget or what I'm going to do. But that's how it builds. Being willing to forgive, being willing to love as Jesus loved us. Finally, we say we trust God with our eternity. But why not our health and our bodies? Cancer is not bigger than God. It's not. Mental illness, addiction, is not bigger than God. God has stomped out way bigger things. And I'm telling you, you lean on him. Sometimes it's not about the healing. when it comes through and it's like it's gone, sometimes it's about the process up into that. What God does to a heart when they lean on Him for that healing. And then He comes through in ways that you don't even ever imagine. And He's often using that. Let me just rephrase that. He's always using that. Anytime that we lean on Him, when we're sick, when somebody we know is sick, anytime we lean on Him, He's using that to change somebody's heart. Maybe not yours, maybe the guy beside you, maybe your spouse, and maybe it is yours. But are we willing to listen and look for those moments? Matthew 6:25-26. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body. Right here. Y'all can look it up yourselves later and read it if you want. What you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds in the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? I would think so. Because the God we love, He gave His Son for us. He sent His Son to the cross to die because He's seen value in us, His children. And it's because of that that we have an opportunity to be here today. I'm telling you, it's the decision that changes your life. Challenge the people around you to trust in God a little bit at a time, one piece at a time. So wise up and let go. So I talked about these balloons sitting over here. And there's a piece of string on each of your seats. Remember I said about sometimes the things you hold on to and you just sort of, we continue to hold on to them. And I can stand here for a half hour and eventually my arm will get tired and eventually I'm probably going to let go of them because it's just exhausting. But I broke down a few things earlier that I talked about. And I don't know if you guys can see, but some of these balloons have writing, family, kids, money, so on and so on. That one's blank. You just fill in the blank there. But, you know, I've been holding on to these things. There was a time where I held on to them so tightly that it broke my heart that I just felt like I was overwhelmed all the time, that I had to carry all the weight. But as I talked about that over the years, you know, you take over time, and they stick together. You take one thing at a time and you start releasing it. And you realize it doesn't go anywhere because God had it the whole time and all you were doing was holding on to the middle. Keeping your finger on it. When He had the entire thing the whole time, He had it tied down. It went nowhere. And that's my family. And God had it. The money, still had it. All the rest of it, He still had it. So what I want to challenge you guys today, there's a piece of balloon string on your seats. What is the string? What is the balloon string you're still holding on to? What is the one that you need to let go of today, that you need to give to God? I have a trash can in the front. There's a trash can in the back. Carla's going to play a little bit. And I'm going to pray. I'd like to challenge you guys. You think about that. Don't take much time. Because when you think about things, then you start adding in your thoughts. Ask God what it is. And once that thing pops in your head, don't think too far into it. Just give it to God. And watch what He does in your lives. Watch what He does for you guys. Please pray with me. Father, I don't know what strings we're holding on to. But what we do know is You've got a hold of the bottom of them. And we can take our hands off. We can give You control. We can give it all to You. You gave it to us, and we are so grateful to get to experience it. And if You take it all away, we're so grateful for the time we had it, and we're still going to praise You, Lord. It is beautiful how You challenge us to just one string at a time, one challenge at a time, one step at a time. You know that we're broken. You know that we are messed up. So You know You have to take it easy and give us little baby bites so that someday that we can fully lean on You for everything in our lives. We love You so much, Father. We're so grateful that You keep a hold of those strings. We're so grateful that You've got Your arms wrapped around us, that You follow us till we're ready to trust You, ready to cut loose and give it all back to You. So, Father, I thank You so much for today. I thank You for being here in this room. Thank You for stretching me, making me lean on You once again and again and again. We love You. Your precious, beautiful, and holy name. Amen. Guys, you don't have to make a big to-do out of it. There's a trash can there and a trash can there. If you know what string it is today that you need to take out and let, you know, drop out of your hand, you need to let loose of and trust that God's going to catch it, get rid of them on the way out. Thank you, guys. Thank you for bearing with the technical difficulties today and everything else. Have a great day.